Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Appreciate that wonderful song. This is Reaching the World for Christ. Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood. We're just trying to tell somebody the good news about Jesus. So if you... praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Appreciate this. And we're having... Praise God. Okay, what's the number that's called in?
We've got three people.
Let's see if you can turn them on.
Hey, there's John. Ask him if he can hear you.
Brother John?
Yeah, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, brother.
Okay. We're bound to be connected in. Just go ahead and obey the Lord. We're having a lot of problems on our end here. We can't get no phones to work. So just go ahead and is anybody else in there that can hear me?
Now, this is Eddie Bolton. I can hear you, Brother Yearwood.
Okay. Well, then, is anybody else in there?
No, Paul. Just him and
two. Okay. I don't know which one of you is called in first, but one of them just go ahead and obey the Lord, and maybe
go ahead, get something
going here.
Go ahead, Brother Eddie. You can go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
Tonight we're speaking about, going to speak about a couple of things, but tonight, my message tonight is, the first part of the message is about the blood, but it's called give or take. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11, I mean 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 2 Samuel chapter 12. The title of the message is give and take. 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting with verse 1. I'm just going to paraphrase some of these things tonight. For the sake of time, it says, it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. So this was the time that the kings were to go forth to battle. This was the time that they were to be brought to a time of overcoming. This was the time, amen, that they were going forth to conquer, just like the Lord said in Revelation chapter 19. with what to conquer and to conquer. And so at this time, it was a time, amen, it was a time of the season. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 that there's a time for all things, and there's a time for a season, a time and a season for every purpose. But what had happened here, when it was time for David to go forth into the battle and to enter into the battle, but David stayed and waited and tarried in Jerusalem. While he was staying there, staying there in Jerusalem, we find that the Bible says that it came at even time there in verse 2, that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent, in verse 3, and inquired after the woman, and he was told that this is not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him and lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she turned unto her house. And from that relationship that the Bible says that the woman conceived a child, she went and told David, she said, I am a child. And then David sent to Joab, the captain of the host, told him to get Uriah the Hittite, her husband, bring him back unto David. We find, amen, at that time, amen, that the Bible says that after he saw her and he took her and he yielded to temptation.
Right.
Hallelujah. We find, amen, that this is the taking part, part of this message. David had gotten to a place, you know, this is the same David that ran into the battle there, amen, First Samuel there, came into the battle and fought against Goliath, amen, saw him as uncircumcised Philistine. But something had happened. Something had changed. Something had changed in his life. And the Bible says that as Uriah came down, and he brought him back there in verse 8, and he told him to go, and he even gave him a mess of meat and told him to go wash his feet, came in, and go to his own house. But Uriah would not, he was, the Bible says that as required of the steward to be found faithful, Uriah wouldn't leave his king. Uriah wouldn't leave the others that had been in the battle. The Bible says, amen, that there in verse 11, he said, and Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in camps of my lord Joab, and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife, as thou hast lived in thy soul, that I will not do this thing? He would not leave. He would not leave. This man was faithful to what he'd been called to. The Bible says that David tried to get him to, in fact, not try it. He got into the place where, actually, he got him drunk there in verse 13. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2 and 15, he says, did I not bring him the drunkenness to reveal the nakedness? And Bathsheba belonged to Uriah. That was her husband. We find, amen, that as like it says, that verse 2, that David saw that she was very beautiful to look upon. What had happened is the enemies had come into the house. The enemies of God had come into the house. We have to be careful that we don't let the enemies of the Lord into our house, into the temple, into the place. And what had happened is an enemy had came in. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, this is what happened to David. And the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. David had gotten out of the will of God at that present time. As he became king and he yielded, amen. I guess he thought that at that time, that because he was king, because he was king, Bathsheba yielded unto him. But the Bible says tonight that we need to yield our members unto righteousness. The Bible says that we are all members of the righteousness of Christ. Amen. And so we find, amen, that as he come there and Uriah was drunk, it came to pass that because he would not leave, that he gave him a letter unto Joab, he said, by the hand of Uriah. And in that letter, David had told and instructed Joab. And this was a letter about Uriah himself. And he said, send him out to the forefront in verse 15 of 2 Samuel chapter 11. He said, send him to the forefront of the hottest battle and retire you from him that he may be smitten and die. In other words, this is what you need to do. Get him in the midst of the battle. And when he's in the midst of the battle, leave him. Leave him that he may be smitten and die. The Bible says it came to pass that Joab observed the city there in verse 16, and he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew that valiant men were. In other words, men that were on the other side that would stay and fight. The Bible says that Uriah the Hittite died also. Men in the city fought. Some of them fell, and one of them was Uriah the Hittite. They withdrew from him. They begin to talk about and begin to tell about later on in that chapter, amen, how that the shooter shot from off the wall there in verse 24 of 2 Samuel chapter 11, and how that Uriah died. And the Bible says that there in verse 26 that the wife of Uriah, which was her, that Uriah, her husband, was dead, and she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And so we saw here in verse 12 here, the Bible says there that Nathan spoke unto him, Second Samuel chapter 12. Nathan the prophet spoke unto David there in verse 1. He came unto him and he told him about two men that were in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb. We find that he had brought it up and nourished it and grew it up together, treated it as his own children. He did eat his own meat, drank of his own cup. He completely took care of this one lamb that he had. This is all he had. The Bible says in verse 4 that there came a traveler to the rich man, and he spared not to take his own flock. In other words, the rich man didn't want to take his own flock, even though he had much and many. But he took and dressed that one ewe lamb for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come to him. Tonight, church, you need to know tonight that we got to be careful about the traveler that was coming, the wayfaring man that's wandering, because this is what was happening in David's life. There was no one come, but there was a stranger in the house. There was a stranger in the temple. There was a stranger. There was traveling. There was wandering. Not only wandering man, but wandering eyes and all these kind of things. The Bible says the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Amen. And here already, we're talking about the blood tonight. He already took in the life of Uriah. Even though he didn't put his hand to it, he had counseled and he had caused the death of Uriah the Hittite. The Bible says he that tries to cover his sin shall not prosper. David tried to cover his sin as he had made Bathsheba with a child. He tried to cover it up, and he tried to cover it up by sending her husband and giving him a time to go down with her. But tonight, you need to know tonight, I don't know why it is, but I just feel like there's something underneath the sound of my voice that have been looking, amen, been looking in out-of-the-way places. I've been looking for having a lust eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Been looking for the time that you should have been going to the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ is the time you tarried, and you begin to look, you begin to wander, and you begin to yield in the things of your life tonight. You need to know tonight, young man, young lady, amen, if you're in an adulterous relationship tonight, if you're in a relationship of fornication, you need to move away from that. You need to repent and confess your sins. Turn away from that tonight, because if you're going to take the blood, this is a give and take thing. This is I really feel this strongly in the spirit tonight that there, even right now, there's young men and young women thinking about, amen, even calling, just like David, amen, he sent. And some of you on each side of my voice have been thinking about sending for that woman, sending for that man, sending for that is not your husband, not your wife, and not your relationship. But you need to know tonight that in this give and take thing that amen, that hallelujah, that David, that Uriah lost his life, these things that David took. Amen. You need to know tonight, you can't keep taking and taking and taking. The Bible says he that commits adultery destroys his own soul. And the Bible says, amen, and David's anger was in 2 Samuel 12 and 5, said, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the land fourfold, because he did the same, because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I have anointed thee king over Israel, and I deliver thee out of the hand of Saul. And then the Lord began to speak. And you need to know tonight the Lord's beginning to speak to you. How much has he done for you tonight, church? How much has he done for you tonight, brothers and sisters? How much has he done for you, those that are listening tonight, when you've been saying the Bible says the word of God is is a discerner and follower of the intents of the heart. And tonight we need to know that the church, the heart of the church, the heart of the believers need to be set right tonight. This is not a give and take thing, amen, where we continue to take and take and take and take and take things that don't belong to us, things of other men. We're not to cover other men's wives or women, other men's husbands, amen, or relations there unmarried, amen, these things here. And hallelujah, I know it's a little bit different here tonight, but the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, is really laying it heavily upon me tonight about this. And the Bible says, hallelujah, he said, I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. He gave them all the house he gave, and God kept giving. And if that had been too little, I would moreover, verse 8, have given unto thee such and such thing. If that hadn't been enough, God would give more. You know, he gave his son, he gave himself. And whatever that, I tell you tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ is more than enough tonight, church. The blood of Jesus Christ is more than enough. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ is given to us tonight. We don't have to continue to take and take and take and take and abide in sin. Amen. And the Bible says, wherefore thou hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in thy sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. He had taken the life of Uriah. He had taken his wife. He had taken everything that belongs to Uriah. Verse 10, he said, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because you killed him with the sword of Ammon. The sword, that which represented war, will never ever depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. The Lord spoke to him and said, David, you despised me. You hated me. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst secretly. Here he does. You need to know tonight, you cannot prosper in your secret sins, in your presumptuous sins. But I will do this thing before Israel, before all Israel, before the sun. What did he tell him? He said, because you've done it in secret, I'm going to take your wives. As you took wives, I'm going to take your wives. But I'm going to give them before all Israel. And I'm going to give them to your neighbor, just like you took your neighbor's wife. Whatsoever a man sows, that what shall he also reap tonight, church. What are you sowing tonight? What are you taking and what are you giving? Amen? Are you giving it unto blood? We need to know tonight, amen, that he said that the sword would never depart, and it never did. The Bible says, amen, even David had in his heart to build the Lord a house, a temple, for him to dwell in. He said he lived in cedar houses, amen, and brought there and got the Ark of the Covenant, didn't have any place there. But he said, David, thou's been a mortal man of war, and you shed innocent blood, and you cannot build me a house. He said, that's the earth and the heavens that can't hold his presence. But a place to put his name. Church tonight, do you have a place to put the name of Jesus? Do you have a place to put the name of Jesus? But here's what I want. To show you, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. At the moment that he confessed, God put it away. Right now, at the moment you confess your sin, God will put it away. Because he's given of his blood. He's given of his life. He's given of his things. It's time for us to quit taking. It's time for us to quit taking other things that belong to someone else. It's time for us to quit taking on sin. It's time for us there in verse 14 says, howbeit because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born in thee shall surely die. This child died. But you need to know tonight that God turned around and changed things. God restored things through, amen, even later on in life. So this is what I have. This is the first part tonight. The giving and the taking tonight. As far as the blood, he took the blood of Uriah. He took the blood. The Bible says, even in his own house, evil will rise up against him. Absalom, his own son, rose up against him. The Bible says that a man's foes are those of his own household. David had called because Uriah was of the house of David in the fact that he was faithful to him. Amen. that within his own house, enemies would rise up. Within his own house, they would chase after him. Within his own house, he would be run out of his kingdom. Within his own house, because he had come to the place believing that because he was king, he could take anything that he wanted to. But you need to know tonight, no matter what position you are, no matter what title you have, you can't just take anything. But you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to receive of his blood. But again, I say to you, if you're underneath the sound of my voice right now and you're thinking about any of these things I was just speaking about, any of these things, amen, and if you've been living a life of just taking, 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 it can be turned around right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a life of giving, a life of receiving the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the first error. So right now, if you're thinking about that, you can get down right now and confess your sin and repent. If you've been thinking about it, you've been having a relationship and you're unmarried and you're in a relationship, you need to repent right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn around and stop that and make these things right now before the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in an adultery situation right now, maybe spiritual adultery, maybe you've been going away from the Lord. Right now, you can confess your sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be faithful and just and forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And right now, if you've been in these things and trying to take things that didn't belong to you, right now, by the grace of God and the mercy of God and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, these things can be taken and turned around right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's completely up to you. Right now, you can repent and turn back to God, and the blood will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Go ahead, Brother Lloyd. You there, bro? Hello?
I believe he's having trouble with his phone, John.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brother Eddie.
I'd like to preach a little bit tonight on a pure conscience. There's a lot of people today walking about don't have a pure conscience. They've got a defiled conscience because they've gone after the works of the flesh. They've gone after the adultery. They've gone after the fornication. They've gone after the lying. They've gone after the stealing. But God come, he sent his son, Jesus, that shed his blood, his precious blood, that would clean the conscience. He said over here in the 14th verse of the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There's a lot of people tonight that's trying to serve God with sin in their life. And you might say, what is sin? And over here in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, and in the 19th verse through the 21st verse, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people tonight that been deluded by the devil. The devil has sold them a lie and told them they can do these things, that it's all right to get out and get drunk once in a while. It's all right to get out and abuse drugs once in a while. But, brother, I'll tell you something tonight, that the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and you can't take these things and keep a pure conscience before God. And the conscience is defiled, and the only way that you can get the conscience undefiled is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when it's whenever it's applied to the conscience, it'll clean it. It said, but the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Honey, it took the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of goats and bulls couldn't clean the conscience of man. If they could have, they had just been offered one time, but they was offered year after year, that people might, because they was a remembrance of sin. In the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things could ever with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And that's what we're looking for, is that perfect, that pure conscience, that for them would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience for sin. But in those sacrifices, there's remembrance again made of sin every year. And brother, when sin begins to come up, that's why that when anybody is out and they go out on a weekend, they get drunk and they'll get so sick they can't hardly live on Monday morning, and they'll tell God that I'm not going to do that no more. I'm not going to get drunk anymore. I'm going to go on. I'm going to straighten myself out. But just as sure as the following weekend comes, they go out and they do the same thing again. There's a remembrance of that. But when you're purged in the blood of Jesus Christ, when you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Whenever that the blood of Jesus is applied to your soul, and brother, it causes your conscience to be made clean. It takes those dead works. You purge from dead works, and there's no more dead works in there. And that's why that you can't remember. The Bible said to consider yourself dead or reckon yourself dead to sin. And he said in another place that sin shall have no more dominion over you. That's why today that people can't keep from sinning, their conscience has not been purged. And honey, I'll tell you something, that there's a lot of people that has once served God. They've took their cross up and they followed Jesus, and brother, when they followed Jesus, they were happy, they were full of joy. And the Bible says over here again in Galatians in the 5th chapter in verse 22, now I want you to listen to this, said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and things that people's looking for today, the joy and the peace and the long-suffering. They're looking for the joy. They're looking for peace, but they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking in a bottle of pills, or they're looking in a bottle of alcohol tonight. But listen, it won't give you the peace, and it won't give you the joy. But it said the fruit of the Spirit, when the Spirit of God comes in and begin to live in your life, once that the blood of Jesus has been applied to your soul and begins to live in you, honey, it's a fruit. It's like an apple tree bearing apples. An apple tree can't help but bear apples. And the fruit and the Spirit of God can't help but bring the love and the joy and the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance. Again, he said, such there is no law. Honey, whenever the Spirit of God comes in, he brings love. He brings joy and peace and long-suffering, and it causes you to be a new creation. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, for old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And brother, you become a new creation in Christ. And brother, I want you to know today that you can walk in the newness of life. And brother, the people that you once hated, you'll love them. And brother, the people you once despised, you go up and hug their neck. And brother, I want you to know tonight, you might say, well, I would live for the Lord, but I'd have to give up this, or I'd have to give up that. And it's no fun not being able to do that. But let me tell you tonight, honey, whenever you get the Spirit of God down in you, when Christ moves down in your heart, when the blood of Jesus is shed abroad in your heart, honey, it purges your conscience and wakes your conscience up and does away with old dead works and brings that this fruit of the Spirit out. And brother, you begin to do the things you want to do. And brother, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me, said Paul in one place. And brother, I'll tell you what, you can do all you want to do, and you can still have the love and the joy and the peace. And brother, you can lay down on your pillow of a night and you can go to bed and you can go to sleep. And brother, you don't have to worry about whether you wake up the next day, whether you be lost or not. But brother, you can go to sleep with full assurance that if God was to call you out, if you was to have a heart attack and die, if something was to happen and you leave out of this life, you can have full assurance, bless God tonight, that you'd be in the presence of God. You see, without this pure conscience, we can't, and undefiled, honey, it takes that for the Lord to work through us and to live in us. And brother, whenever this begins to take place, you can live your life in full assurance and not worry about whether that you're going to leave or whether you're going to stay. And if you stay, there's a song that says, if I go or if I stay, I'm a winner either way. If you live, you can live for the Lord and you can witness for the Lord. And you might say, well, now, brother, you're on something there that I can't do. I can't just open my mouth and begin to talk to anybody. But, brother, I want you to know something. Brother, whenever that Jesus begins to shine in your life, after your conscience has been purged, honey, he'll give you the boldness to stand up, brother, and begin to witness to people, begin to talk to people, and brother, maybe begin to win people to the Lord, and you can begin to talk to people. Brother, I want you to know something today. God will give you grace in your heart. God will give you grace to go out and to stand, brother, and talk to people and show the love of God. Paul said in another place, he said, for the love of God constraineth us. Oh, listen to me tonight, folks. There's people today that would love to be able to get out and witness for the Lord. There's people today that would love to be able, brother, to go out and to live a Christian life, but they think they got to live it by themselves. But, brother, I'm here to tell you tonight that you don't got to live it by yourself. It's just because it's not you that lives it. You're not able to live it in yourself, but, brother, Christ that is in you. Where he said, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Brother, whenever that you let Christ begin to live his life in you and manifest his presence in you, he knows how to live a Christian life. He will give you power. Brother, the Bible said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. And brother, I want you to know something. When Christ begins to live, you see, Jesus knows how to live a Christian life. And brother, he's looking for people today that will give him their life, that will say, Lord, here am I. Take me and use me. He said, look out into the field for the white to harvest. He said, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest. Brother, I want you to know tonight that there's people behind him going to hell today because, honey, they don't know the thing. Bless God that I'm preaching to them tonight. Or maybe perhaps they've known in times past about the peace of God, about the love of God. And, brother, they've turned their back on God, and they've turned around and left him. And, brother, I want you to know that all you've got to do is go back to where you turned your back on him. And go back to that place. And as John said a while ago, confess your sin to him. Bless God. And you might say, well, it sounds ugly. It just don't sound good what I did. That's one reason why that you need to confess it and get it out. The Bible said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And bless God, whenever you keep that in there, it will cause you to not be able to come to the Lord. But when you get that out there and you confess that before God, it works. He said it by the washing of the water of the word. And bless God, when you begin, it will change you. It will cause you to turn and come back to the Lord. You might say, I don't want nothing causing me to do anything. Brother, let me rephrase what I'm saying. Brother, it will cause you to want to live for the Lord. You might say, I'm ashamed of what I've done. Brother, you may be, but the only way to get that took care of, no matter how ugly it sounds, bless God, the only way to do it is confess it. And when you confess it, Jesus is standing. Bless God, waiting to forgive. He said, when we'll confess it, he'll forgive us. I thank God tonight that it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother, I want you to know, he said, Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Hebrews 13:12. I want you to know he done this, that he might sanctify us, that he might cause us. And you might say, well, brother, what is sanctification? Sanctification is a setting apart. Brother, and when you're set apart, brother, you just open yourself wide open for God to pour you full of himself, that he might use you as a vessel unto honor. You see, the Bible said that there's not only vessels unto dishonor, but there's vessels unto honor. He said if a man will purge himself, he'll become a vessel unto honor, a meat for the master's use, to whom it is prepared. Bless God. Oh, something that if you're missing that peace that you once had, if you're missing that joy that you once had, there's one way to get it back, and that's around. And John, he only find you an altar somewhere and get down and confess your sin to him. You might say, brother, I've got to the place that I'm hooked on alcohol that I can't get off of it. Bless God, I want you to know something. Jesus is wanting you to come. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Bless God, today when you begin to cast that thing on him, there's a deliverance that comes with that. And God will grant to you repentance, and he'll cause you. That repentance will bring a cleansing. It will bring a deliverance from the things that got you bound down. Oh, listen to me. You might say, well, I'm on drugs to the place I can't get off of them. Honey, I've seen people on the needle that shooting that stuff in their veins. And bless God, they get off the needle because God would help them. And brother, God is no respecter of persons. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, brother, what he'll do for one, he'll do for another. He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Bless God, it's through them by the blood of Jesus Christ today. He said, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Brother, 1 Peter 1:19. Brother, whenever that we begin to give ourselves to God, when we begin to give ourselves to God and we offer ourselves up for him, he's ready and he's waiting, because he's the one that said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into the harvest, for the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Oh, listen to me tonight, brother. You might be concerned, but I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm on this radio station tonight to tell you that Jesus loves you, that Jesus wants to carry you. He wants to help you. He said, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Brother, I'll tell you today that Jesus is waiting for you to come to him. He's waiting for you to come. Brother, he said, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, he'd leave the 99 and he'd go out and he'd look for that one. And when he found it, he'd lay it on his shoulder and he'd bring it back. And that's the same way today. And let me give you another. In the book of Luke, he talked about the prodigal son. Brother, the prodigal son, he was a rebellious boy. He wanted to get out and just have a big time. And brother, one day he told his father, he said, give me that befalls me. And brother, whenever he gave it to him, he went off into a far country and he went into riotous living. And he spent all he had. He had plenty of friends as long as he had money. He had plenty of friends as long as he had material possession. But there was a time come, there was a famine come. And he had done spent all of his money, he had partied it up. And bless God, he had got rid of all of his material possessions. He had lost them. And his friends was away from him. He didn't have any then. And he found himself in a hog pen. Oh, listen to me today. If this sounds familiar, bless God, it's happened to a lot of people today. But I'll tell you, whenever that this prodigal son was in the hog pen. The Bible said that he would, anything would, he would eat the husk or the hog feed. And brother, I want you, he found himself in a position that, bless God, that he would have never had to be in had he had not left the Father. But he left the Father, and he found himself in that hog pen. And brother, I want you to know today, he said, how much food has my Father's servants got to eat? And I'm just kind of paraphrasing like John said a while ago. And he said, I'm out here feeding the hogs. The Bible said he came to himself. And brother, if you're coming to yourself tonight, brother, praise the Lord for that. He said he came to himself. And brother, he began to leave that hog pen and he began to make his way home. And brother, I don't know how long it took him to get back there, but the Bible said his father looked and seen him afar off. Brother, he run up and he hugged his neck, and he put a robe on him. He put a ring on his finger, and he throwed a party for him. And bless God, that's the same way today that God is by you if you backslid from God. Brother, you might say, I don't like the word backslid. Brother, I don't either, but it's a fact tonight that there's people that have backslid on God. And brother, I want you to know tonight, bless God, but he didn't have to be that way. The people that turned around from and walked off and left God tonight, they don't have to do that, but they can come to Christ. They can come back to Christ, and they can confess their sin. Oh, listen to me tonight. Let me read another scripture. God said, have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, and not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the tenth of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Oh, in that 2 Corinthians 4:2, he said, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a faith unfeigned. You see, when God begins to purge that conscience, when he begins to pour that blood out on that conscience, it cleanses that conscience. It gives you a pure heart. It gives you the thing you need to let God live his life in you through Jesus Christ, that you can live for him. And brother, these people, it's lost tonight. Brother, that's never known the way of the Lord, and it works the same way, that all you've got to do is come to the Lord, brother, and ask God to forgive you of your sin, and ask God to save you tonight. He'll birth you into the family of God. He'll cause you to be a new creation, and brother, the old things in your life will pass away, and you'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brother, I want you to know tonight that God, he's waiting tonight for people just to bow down and to humble themselves. And you might say, well, I'm not of your race, I'm of another race. That's got nothing to do with it. The Bible said that he made of all nations one blood. And brother, I want you to know today, it don't matter if you're a male or a female, all you've got to do is just humble yourself and call on the name of the Lord. He said, whoever would call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother, I want you to know tonight, you've never experienced anything like the joy of the Lord after you've been born again tonight. Honey, God's waiting on you, and all you have to do is call on him. Brother, he said, Holden, that scripture I just read was 1 Timothy 1:5, and brother, this and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. 1 Timothy 1:19. And that's the people that have made shipwreck, or the people, brother, who have throwed their hands up and quit. They're the people that's turned their back on God. They're the people that's most miserable. Brother Paul said, if we have faith in this life only, we're above all men most miserable. But brother, I want you to know something. Brother, we don't only have have hope in this life, but we have hope of everlasting life, of spending eternity in a place called heaven. Brother, you might say that's a fairy tale. Brother, you can read in the book of Revelation over about the 19th or 20th chapter, and you can begin to read about heaven. The Bible said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is just as real. It's more real than anything that we know of. And it's a place that Jesus went to prepare. And bless God, he's waiting today. And the Bible said in another place, it's appointed once in a man to die, and after this, the judgment. Oh, listen to me today, folks. There's the fact of the matter is we're going to leave here one of these days, whether we're saved or whether we're backslid or whether we're lost. But the thing is that we don't have, there's nobody has to be lost, and there's nobody has to be backslid, but bless God, tonight we can all come to the knowledge of the Son of God. And bless God, when we begin to call on him, and he saves us, he cleanses us, he births us into the kingdom of God. Oh, listen to me, folks, today, if you're not praying, then you need to pray. And I believe the Spirit of God is dealing with people, is speaking to hearts today to call on the name of the Lord. Oh, listen to me, whenever you begin to call on the Lord, he'll hear you. Brother, and I believe that God's speaking to your heart tonight to come to him. He said, whoever would come to him, he said, he'd in no likewise cast away. Oh, I'm so glad tonight that God made a way that we could come to him. And I'm so glad tonight that God made no difference between one, he said it, or another. He said he was no respecter of persons. Oh, listen, he said, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Oh, listen to me today. God will give you a pure conscience. He'll purge your conscience. He'll take away all that old desire for everything that's ungodly, and he'll take away that old desire for everything that's sinful in nature, and he'll cause you. You might say, yeah, but I might slip and I might sin. The Bible says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But he said, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, listen to me tonight, folks. God's waiting on you. God's waiting on you tonight. And all you have to do is call on him. He's come to the Lord. You might say, I don't know how. All you got to do is just say in your heart, Lord, I'm coming to you, and I want you to save me tonight, or I want you to restore me, I want you to forgive me of the sin in my life, and I want you to take me, I want you to shape me and to mold me and make me what you'd have me to be. Oh, listen, folks, you'll find that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, and that gentleness back in your life again. Oh, thank God tonight that God has made a way for us to reach out to reach out to people. And we're reaching out to you tonight because we don't want to see anything bad happen to anybody. We want to see the things of God come about in your life. And brother, that God will save you and make you that new creation in Christ. Oh, I'm so glad tonight that God has chosen us in him through Christ Jesus. Brother, let me read another scripture here, and then I'm going to get off of here. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. Brother, when you begin to consider the good things of God, brother, God has provided sanctification. He has provided healing. Brother, when Jesus, before he was put on the cross, they took a cat of nine tails and they whipped him until he was unrecognizable. And he done that for our healing. And brother, I said that would be the last scripture, but let me read this one more. He said, who his own self bare sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. 1 Peter 2:24.
Amen.
O folks, listen, healing's provided for in the atonement. It's just provided for. He bought the healing. He bought sanctification. He bought salvation tonight. May God bless you tonight. Now, I just want to plead with you that if God's dealing with you, for you just to humble your heart and just to find you an altar somewhere and get down and call on the name of the Lord. May God bless you tonight.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me out there, brothers?
Yes.
Brother John?
Yes. Yeah, I can hear you,
bro. Okay.
Yeah,
well, praise the Lord. I've been an hour trying to get to, hour and 2 minutes trying to get on here, so I'm hoping that I can stay on for the rest of this hour anyway. I don't know who's been on there, who's not. 864, have you been on?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hello there, brother, my dear brother in Tennessee. This is Bob Hicks, Anderson, South Carolina, Bob and Clara.
Great, Bob.
We've had a ministry.
Amen.
Pardon?
Praise the Lord.
I said praise the Lord.
Okay,
everybody,
I'll go ahead. Had a ministry for a number
of years.
Go ahead,
Brother Bob, and obey the Lord there. I'm
well,
sure
I was
everybody
enjoyed
would,
the preaching, the wonderful words the brother was giving to us, that great plan of salvation. I want to mention just a little further the wonderful name of Jesus, the Savior that was provided. It grieves my heart when I see how our wonderful America has drifted away. They're even telling us in the counties, in the states, over the nation, you will be allowed to pray, but don't use the name Jesus. Can you think about wonderful America having slipped that far away? But it's not too late if they will turn back. So I want to thank God today for the privilege coming on here and sending these few words. I got a little song I want to sing, a little chorus. I won't take so much of your time there. I lay this down and I'm at the piano.
Praise God.
And that's the reason why I love him so, yes I do.
Bless him, Lord.
probably some hungry hearts out there. Like the brother said, maybe you're straight away, but it's a wonderful time to come back your heart and life to Jesus.
Amen.
Clara and I send their best, all of our friends, is unable to take part with my conversation. He's on a bit of affliction, and we're in God's hands. Whatever he works out, so he'll do it for his good, our good and his glory. We appreciate your prayers. Appreciate this time to say these words for my Jesus. Don't give up and give away from the name that's above every name. He said there's none other name under heaven among men whereby we could be saved.
Amen.
Officials, our people in authority, say you don't use that name. Don't give in to it, children. The best is to come yet. God bless you, Brother Lloyd, and all of our wonderful people.
Amen.
Thank you,
Brother
Jesus.
Bob, don't get off. Just stay in
I'm
there.
I'm here with you. I'm here with you.
I just want to say that we really do appreciate you calling in. Everybody on the line, everybody in the, around the world, hear Brother Bob Hicks there speak, and he's in South Carolina. He's just 94 years old. He's been a pastor in a church, praise God, for many years, and he just kind of stepped down from that church. How long has that been, Brother Bob, since you stepped down?
It'll be a year in May, this next month coming up, May. It was right about Mother's Day. Our physical conditions were such that I deemed it not wisdom to continue. Claire and I had been pastoring for more than 30 years the church. And incidentally, I had a birthday just a few days ago, and I was 77 years old. In the Lord, 77 years ago, April the 19th, Jesus came into my heart. Hallelujah. And I'm glad there today. We're getting closer home. In fact, we're almost to the city limits. And when the Lord says, come on in, that's what we'll do. But until then, I want to do everything I can. Take people with me to heaven and keep them from the hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Praise
Bob,
the Lord.
Just go ahead and obey the Lord a little bit.
Obeyed him now. I've sung the song I had in mind, and I've told you and warned people. That's been on my heart for some time. Warn the people to not give up the name. As the Bible says, there's none other name under heaven. It's not the church name. It's the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And there's none other name under heaven whereby you can get to heaven other than the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I love a little chorus. If I can strike up and sing it. Hold on here just a minute.
Obey God, brother.
That's what he'll do for you. Take you in, clean you up, press you down, run you over too. Hallelujah. Oh, the best is yet to come. Think about what it's going to be when we leave this world. We leave all the cares behind, all the pain, suffering, every bit of its life behind. Heartaches, misunderstandings, accusations, whatever it may be. Remember, though, you got to have a forgiving spirit. Say, well, they did me wrong. But maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. But you got to have a forgiving spirit.
Amen.
Say, well, he didn't come and ask me. Say he had to do that. It says you and I have got to forgive. If they don't forgive, that's between them and the Lord. And if they don't ask it, between them and the Lord. We must have
Amen.
A forgiving glory. God bless you, Brother Lloyd. Our best to our friends who traveled Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina, Virginia, and we went up in as far as Maryland, and then the west into Kansas, and we had a wonderful ministry, but it looks like this might be homely one time if it is. God doesn't see fit. We're a little different for our dear Clara. So if we don't give up yet, but we believe that he's going to see us safely through. I'll wind it down with that. Bless you.
Okay. God bless you, and we love you, Brother Bob, and we're sort of glad that you called in. We're praying for you and Sister Claire, and we love you, and it's always been a blessing to us whenever we come in contact with you, and the last time we was in your home when you sung to us and prayed for us and ministered to us, it was just a great, wonderful blessing.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to let the girls come around and obey the Lord. They've not been here yet, so I'll let them do it, then I'll get back in here, and we'll get somebody else on, whoever's not being on, because we want to make everybody feel free. God knows all about it. Praise the Lord.
I tell you today of the goodness of the Lord. There's nothing good in me that I should gain a reward just by the kindness and the favor he has shown, not by my works or anything I earned. It's nothing but grace that pardons my sins. Because of his mercy, I've been born again. Redeemed by his blood, my sins are erased. What else can I say? Nothing but grace. I am what I am by the grace he gives to me. His goodwill and favor continue to increase. Called out of darkness to wonderful light. I'm blessed beyond measure. I owe him my life. It's nothing but grace that pardons my sin. Because of his mercy, I've been born again. Redeemed by his blood, my sins are erased. What else can I say? Nothing but grace. Redeemed by his blood, my sins are erased. What else can I say? Nothing but grace.
Amen. Appreciate that Amen. Wonderful song. That was Stephanie. She's 8 years old singing, obeying God. So here's Betty. She's going to obey the Lord. She's 11 years old.
Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother John?
Yeah, brother. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead and tell the church where you're at there, and the pastor and everything, and I'll come back in there and obey the Lord for a little while then.
Okay. Well, I'm Pastor John Sample, a church. Our church is in Thompson, Georgia, about 75 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia. In Thompson, Georgia, we're right downtown on Main Street on the highway, and we have Sunday morning services at Sunday school at 10 and regular service at 11, Sunday night at 6, Wednesday night at 7, and we've got another thing going on. We just Praise the Lord. We're about in the church about every night. We've got courses going on, Bible studies on Thursday night, and all the singings and the stuff on Friday night. So we just praise the Lord. God's keeping us busy, and we just praise the Lord and lift him up. And I just wanted to give a couple prayer requests. Let's remember Brandon Rucker, Justin Adams, Crystal Harris. Some of these have had some problems with having some seizures. Some of them had some other problems with some other things. This Crystal Harris there, they've been grafting some skin. And then there's Jasper Hubbard that has a place on his leg that we need to remember him in prayer. And also a Rachelle Williams. She has vasculitis, and she needs nurses in the hospital. And then this Thursday, my grandson, will be facing surgery in Riley Hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana. He has a mass in his stomach and also a fluid on the brain. And then my other grandson, Ricky, facing possible surgery with his back. He's 11 years old, and my other Caleb is 17 years old. And so we've got a lot of prayer requests. Also remember the Curtis Dawson family. Curtis passed away yesterday. His funeral will be tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And so just remember that family and lift them up. But we just, praise the Lord, we had one. We had a little 5-year-old boy that's in our church. He got operated on the day, had hernia surgery, and come through the surgery just fine. And he's at home. And then also we had another man that was in our church. Scheduled to have a 5 bypass yesterday, and went in. They ran some tests, and praise the Lord, they couldn't find the blockages. They just said that his seemed like his lungs was just a little underdeveloped, so he didn't have to have that surgery. So we give God the glory for that. He didn't have to face that surgery. So we just praise the Lord for what he's doing and continuing doing so. And we just thank the Lord for what he's doing. Go ahead, Brother Lord. Are you there, brother? Can you hear me, Brother Eddie?
Yeah, I can hear you, John. I believe he's been having trouble with his phone today. He called me 2 or 3 times, and his phone would quit working on him. And I'd say it's still giving him problems.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead. I know we were going to talk about I'll go ahead until he comes back in there. We were talking about blood, and we're going to talk about works tonight. I don't know is there anybody else out there that's on the line? Okay. All right. Well, John chapter 10, starting with verse 22. I want to talk about the next few moments about sanctified and sent. In John chapter 10, verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt, or how long are you holding us in suspense? Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. The word works there means the deeds or the job that he has done. So he said, the works that I do or the deeds that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe me not, verse 26, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. You need to know tonight that if you are a sheep of the good shepherd, you hear his voice, you know him, and you follow him. The Bible says, know them that labor among you, know them that work among you. You said, and I give them eternal life. You give them to keep eternal life. And they can never perish. He is saying, and then swept them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. In other words, his Father gave him the flock. His Father gave him the sheep. His Father gave him this flock. Is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out
from my Father's hand. No man is able to pluck the sheep of the living God out of his Father's hand. Said, I and my Father are one. Verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones against him to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you for my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Jesus answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified, or set apart, and sin in the world. Thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. See, the Father has sent him. The Father has sent him to do the Father's works. We've been sent to do the works of the Father. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. He said, starting in verse 8, he said, Philip saith unto him, the Lord showed the Father, and it sufficeth us, and others it would be enough. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now sayest thou then, show us the Father. We need to know tonight that Christ is the revelation of God. Christ is the revelation of the Father. Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. You need to know tonight that the works that Jesus did was always the works of the Father. He said, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you don't believe that he's in the Father, and the Father in him, then believe him for the very work's sake, because it is the work of the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He says that we can do this works, and we'll do a greater work. Greater works than the greater works of ministry. Because you need to know tonight that he says in his word in Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 55, tells us, amen, that his word will not return unto him void. He tells us in Isaiah 55 that his thoughts are not our thoughts. He says in 55 and 8, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, so the heavens, not thither, the waters of the earth.
And they fail the host, and then he'll work your own. So that's what it is. So we can listen without getting home.
And it makes him bring forth the bud, that they give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it.
Yeah,
so we find, amen, hallelujah, that the works, because he has given to the Father, he's returned, that it will not return and void. It will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Amen. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it shall bring forth, amen, in the works. You still there, Brother Eddie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm listening, brother. You're doing a good job. Go ahead.
You might be the other one listening. I don't know. You're doing a good job, too. So, have you got some more on the verse or anything, brother?
Amen.
No, I've not got anything right now. Go ahead.
We're going to
get back in there, though, Lloyd.
Go ahead and have another one come on. If I can stay on long enough. 706. 706.
Yes, sir, Brother. How you doing? This is Brother Tony.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Glad you called in there. I've been having trouble. I ain't been on just about for a little for the last whole hour. So I'm going to, since we got Brother Bob Hicks in there, 94-year-old minister, I'm going to let him sing a song to them, to him and his wife, tell them their own story. Because Brother Bob and Sister Sarah told their own story for many years. So then we'll get you on there and let's go make a little.
Many times I have traveled down a long, lonely road, headed for another place to tell.
To a Timothy.
Story of Jesus and how he'll save their soul from hell. I've seen many great places, many new faces, beautiful times where I've been. But I want you to know the reason I go, to tell the old story again. Over and over I'll tell the old story to people I've never seen before. It's the story of Jesus. Oh, how he loves us. He'll keep us safe evermore. How he paid the full cost, gave his life on the cross to save a world of sin. I am headed for glory, telling that story over and over again. At times I have questioned, I have wondered, Lord, is it truly your will? I've been discouraged, tired, and confusing all of the that takes me back all the places I've been, where he saved so many from sin. It breaks my heart, like me from the start, and I've got to go tell it again. Over and over I'll tell the old story to people I've never seen before. It's the story of Jesus. Oh, how he loves us. He'll keep us safe evermore. How he paid the full cost, gave his life on the cross to save the world of sin. I am heading for glory, telling the story over and over again. I am heading for glory, telling the story over and over.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me there, brother?
Yeah.
Hello, man. I'm right now.
He wanted everybody to know
everybody listening to this broadcast station tonight, everybody that turns on preacher on TV, everybody that goes to church, everybody around the world, he wanted everybody to know that everything he did, including shedding the blood, he did it because he loved us. It was more than a job to him. It was more than a duty, something that he just had to do. But it was something that he wanted to do because he had a deep, compassionate love for us, that he wanted to set us free from bondage. He wanted to set us free from things. He wanted to deliver us and save us from hell. He loved us so much that he looked down and he said, "You see those people right there, God? You see those people right there, Father? I want them to be with me this day in my kingdom. I want them to be with me. I want them to have the same opportunity to be in the kingdom of God." Amen. But I tell you what, church, we don't have to refuse it. We don't have to reject it. We don't have to deny the power and the blood and the grace of God. Because I tell you something, as long as we come to the throne of God, it don't matter what we've been through in our life. It don't matter if we say, "Oh, well, I'm not worthy of his blood. Oh, I'm not worthy of God's love." It doesn't matter. See, God takes the most ugliest, broken, nastiest thing and applies his blood upon it and makes it something so beautiful. Amen. You know, Pastor Willie said something a while back that found it so beautiful. God takes red blood, sheds it on something that's black as darkness, and makes it white as snow. Red Amen. Blood shed on black darkness makes it white as snow. You know, you might think, and you might be sitting there thinking, "Well, I got a past, I got an ugly past," or maybe you've got an ugly present. Maybe the life you're living in right now isn't so pretty. But I'm going to tell you something. As long as you behold the face of Jesus, you open up your Bible, you hit your knees, and you pray, say, "God, forgive me." Open up your Bible, find a church that's based on the Bible, that believes in every word of the Bible, and you start serving God. God can take that ugly past, or God can take whatever your situation is right now, turn it all around, and make it something glorious. Amen. You know, a lot of ministers get the heat because people say, "Well, they do it for their glory. They do it for the money. They do it to be popular." You know, church, no minister that really is serving God and doing it for the Lord does it for the money. No minister that really loves God does it for the glory. We do it for the glory, but we do it for the glory of the Lord. We do it to let people know that there is freedom. We do it to let people know that there is redemption. We do it to let people know the truth about the blood. His blood was shed so that we can have peace. His blood was shed so that our broken hearts can be put back together. His blood was shed so that we can have healing. I'm not just talking about physical healing. There are people sitting there saying, "If God died for my healing, why do I still got cancer? If God died for my healing, why do I still got arthritis?" I'm talking about, he died for that kind of physical healing too, but he also died for the spiritual healing. He died so that when you're depressed, when you're down and out, you can call upon the name of Jesus, remember the blood that he shed for you, and be spiritually put back together, be made spiritually whole, and be spiritually healed. That's the kind of God I have today, amen. Because you know what, the Apostle Paul went through a lot of struggles in his life. The Apostle Paul went through, had a lot of beatings, amen. He went through a lot of pain. He was prosecuted a whole lot. And people say, "Why didn't God deliver him from that?" Let me tell you something. God delivered him, all right. He might not have delivered him by the physical eyes, but he delivered him by spiritual eyes. Because when Paul was in prison, every time Paul was beaten, he said, "Thank God, because I still got peace," amen. "I might be locked up and bound in this physical body, but my spirit is set free," amen. "My soul is set free because Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, shed his blood upon my life," amen. "Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has set my soul free." You know, the things of this world may try to bound us down physically. The things of this world may try to lock us down, try to bond us down with pain or sickness or beyond bars or whatever. But I don't care who you are, wherever you're listening to this at, I'll let you know that you can be free. Free indeed. You can be free by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be free by the word of God, by the love of God. Because God is so great, so wonderful, that no matter who you are, no matter how much pain you're feeling right now in your heart, no matter what kind of past you got, God is willing to say, "Come to me, my child." He said, "Come to me, for my burden is easy."
and my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said, come unto me. Let me make all things new. The Bible says that when you become saved, behold, all things become new. Everything becomes new. You become a new creature. You become a new being. You become to think differently. You start acting differently. You start acting like Jesus Christ. You start thinking like Jesus Christ. Why? Because the blood of God was shed upon our lives. When we come to the throne of God, and we say, God, I want to be saved. God, I don't want to be bound in these drugs no more. God, I don't want to be bound in prostitution, or I don't want to be bound in alcohol, or I don't want to have this anger, or I don't want to have this issue. I want to be set free. God poured His blood out upon us, and His blood, listen, His blood breaks all chains. Every kind of chain there is, His blood can break it. His blood will break any kind of chain. His blood can break the chain of addiction. His blood can break the chain of sickness. His blood can break the chain of pain. His blood can break the chain of depression. But as long as you want to call on the name of Jesus and say, God, shed your blood upon me and break every chain that's hurting me, that's hindering me from serving you and being set free. That's all we got to do is say, God, shed your blood upon me and break every chain that's hindering me from being set free. And God will set you free. He'll set you free. He'll give you new life. He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy. He'll let you know that you're loved. Hey, nobody's going to come back at you on your back and say, hey, congratulations, I love you. Nobody's got to do that. But when you give your heart to God and you give your situation to God, you automatically know that God loves you. Uh-huh. You automatically know that He shed His blood because He loves you. I'd like to thank God for giving me this time. Thank you, Brother Floyd, for letting me share my little message with y'all here tonight. It's been a blessing, and I hope somebody out there listening will got a blessing out of this. You know, just surrender it all to God and say, God, pour your blood out upon me. You know, we don't really behold the hands of Jesus. We don't really behold the feet of Jesus and see that it is God. When people hear of healing, they want to think the doctors did it. When people hear of somebody being set free from alcohol, they want to think the AA meeting did it. But no, it was all Jesus. It was all Jesus. It was all Jesus. When God does a miracle, it ain't the doctors. When somebody set free from drugs or alcohol, it ain't the AA meeting. It's God. It's the blood of Jesus that can set people free. You can find your help in all kinds of men. You can find your help in the bottle. You can find your help in your peace in the drug. But ain't none of that is going to give you complete peace. Ain't none of that going to give you complete deliverance like the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Brother Floyd. I will go ahead and hand it back over to you.
Amen. Appreciate it, Brother Tony. Appreciate you calling me in. I'm sorry that I tell you what, I mean, I've been really messed up. I've probably been on 20 minutes through this whole hour and a half, if that long. 423-337, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, Brother Viewer. This is Brother Petty. I just got off a while ago, and I had to go back on a little while ago. And I think what the brother there last was trying to say was that our God can do anything, can't He?
Amen.
Amen. And that sums it up, the words, that there ain't nothing impossible with God. He's an almighty God, a powerful God, a living God, a merciful God, and I praise God for that. And on my way home, He's made matches for me, and it's been gone 2,000 years, and it's going to be some kind of a mansion. And I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus, the apostles, my family, you, and the rest of the brothers when that time comes, and I believe it's short. I believe Saturday evening, we're in Saturday evening time. And if we're going to do anything, we better do it while there's light, because darkness is coming. And we're going to be gone wrong. This preacher used to sing a song, said, zoom, 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 I'm out of here. And that's what we're going to be. Zoom, hey. Zoom, zoom, we're going to be out of here. And the world's going to wonder what in the world happened. And then the chaos will start. But I appreciate you, and I had a business at 10 to a while ago. I got on and then got back off, and got back on. Yeah, I thought hoping I'd get through before y'all got off, so I did. And
amen.
Praise God for that. And that little guy, whoever he was, had a good testimony. And we need a bunch of them like that. So I'll turn it back over to you. Somebody else make one on there before we get through here. So God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Bobby. We appreciate you. 912-270. Come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hi, Brother Yearwood. This is Missionary Franklin Bennett. I'm in Nahant, Georgia.
Amen. Well, brother, just go ahead and obey the Lord there for a little bit there. I think we've got about 17 minutes left, and I've just been all messed up. I've not been on much because I've been a little, been kicked off so many times today. It's been pitiful. So go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Well, if I had anything to say to anybody that might be listening out there, it would really be that our job is to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
And, yeah, the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me now for 3 days on the altar in prayer. And he has constantly came to my heart and to my mind and spoke the words to me as clear as anyone could speak to me, that we must destroy the works of Satan. Now, I thought about that a whole lot, and I really wondered just how far we was able to take that and how far we should try to take that as humans and just people who are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost or whatever the case may be. But I'm hearing the Holy Ghost tell me that that is our purpose. In this world, as Christians, when we go forth, it's not just to tell people about Jesus Christ, but it is to destroy the works of Satan. And so the Holy Ghost is sharing with me that if we are keepers of the commandments and the faith of Jesus Christ, then we can ask whatever we will, and we will have it. And
amen.
We can also, we've been given the commission from Jesus Christ himself to go and teach all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And it says for us to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. So the Holy Ghost has shared to me that any sickness, any disease, any type of blindness or deafness or maimness or any of these things that may be a result of demonic affairs, we have the power over those things, and we can rebuke it and see the person that is in the condition freed from the sickness or diseases or whatever
Amen.
It might be. So I want to share with you today, if you are born again and you are saved and you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, first of all, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost since you have believed, you need to seek after the baptism of the Holy Ghost and leave everything else alone in your prayers until you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost is the power over all satanic spirits or any of these things that may be pressing us or someone that we may know or may come in contact with. Now, it's not right for us to try to heal people if they are refusing to believe in Jesus Christ. And if a person is not going to lay his sins down, then why should the Lord heal that person? But at the same time, we are God's children, and we are to have the compassion of Jesus Christ, and we are to take the kingdom of heaven to this generation in this world that we are living in now. And if we cannot take the kingdom of heaven to the people here in this world, then we are failing the whole commission that God has gave us as ministers. And this is a message from the Holy Ghost. This is what the Holy Ghost has been speaking to me. And I say that very, very clearly to say and make sure that you understand, everyone that's listening, that the Holy Ghost is saying not to be afraid, But if you are a keeper of the commandments and the faith of Jesus Christ, you should have the confidence that God shall answer your prayer because of His holy word. His word is already there, and we don't need a voice out of the sky or from a tree or from some angel. We don't have to have nothing to speak to us and tell us that we have the authority in the kingdom of heaven to rebuke the devil and to cast out devils and to heal the sick and even to raise the dead. We have that authority, all the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "He that believeth on me, these signs shall follow them." And so I've been looking around and watching on the television and listening to people, but I've been looking for those signs. Now, signs, as you know, goes all the way back to the Old Testament. They've been signs all the way through the Old Testament to the New Testament. Even when the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary, he said, "This sign shall be." God has told the shepherds out in the field, "And this shall be a sign, that there'll be one laying in the manger with clothes right. There'll be a star there to follow the star." There's always a sign, and the signs that the Holy Ghost is with us is that the people are delivered from demons and devils and sicknesses and diseases. These are the signs that should follow all the people of God that believe.
Amen.
If you do not, if you don't believe it, you will not see these signs. But I want to tell you something. If your church ain't having these things, well, I'm sorry. You need to go to a church that is having these kind of things. And if your pastor's not preaching that the power of God is upon the people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, then you need to go to a church that is preaching that you should be baptized in the Holy Ghost so that you can have power to cast out devils. Because if we are not breaking and tearing down and destroying the works of devils, we are failing God 100% as Christians and as ministers of this great gospel. Hallelujah to His name. Thus said the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, my brother, the Lord is dealing with me, and I am not scared any longer to lay my hands on anyone, and I just forgot about believing in the impossible things. I'm no longer looking at what might be impossible. I am now looking for the things that are signs that God is with me. Everywhere I go now, whenever I lay hands on someone, I know that I can't heal. But I know that the word of God has said, if I lay hands on them in the name of Jesus Christ, that they would recover. So I look for the sign of their recovering. And so far, since I have stepped into this, I have seen those very signs, even in my own body, even in my own health. Doctors telling me I need to have this and I need to have that. I turned this whole thing over to God, and now nothing can be found. I want you to know that God is a healer.
Amen.
He has never stopped being a healer. He's a healer today, and He'll be a healer tomorrow. He'll always be a healer. He'll touch those that will believe, those that will press in and touch the hem of the garment. Those are the ones that will receive the healing. Those are the ones that will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those are the ones that will have the gift of prophecy. Those are the ones that will have the gifts of healing and the other nine gifts of the Spirit. Only those that press in and touch the hem of the garment. If you are thinking that it's just going to fall out of the sky and just land on you and knock you to the ground while you watching your televisions or you're looking on your Facebook or whatever you might be doing, playing around in the world or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with Facebook, but if we're spending too much time, I heard the other day a statistic says that in a person's lifetime, that if they're normal, everyday people, they will spend 10 years of their life watching television. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, that means if I live to be 70 years old, I have wasted 10 years of my life. Oh, no, I'm not going to waste my life like that, watching TV or none of these other things, other things or of this world. I want to destroy, since the Holy Ghost has spoke to me three nights ago, my job now is to destroy the works of the devil. Anybody has a problem with devils, anybody has a problem with any of these diseases, and you can't seem to get through, I want you to call my phone number, 570-9223. I'd be glad to pray and believe with you if you will believe. Praise God.
Amen.
I sure will.
Amen.
I'll turn it back over to you, brother.
Praise the Lord. I appreciate that, Brother Bennett. We sure appreciate the words that you brought. Now, we've got a revival coming up, so I'm going to let Betty make the announcement of it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be back on Block Talk Radio tonight. Enjoyed everybody's message. And we have a Holy Ghost revival coming up May the 12th through the 15th, 2013, at Barnesville Gospel Church, 214 Barnell Cedar Street in Barnell, Georgia. Everybody come out and enjoy it. Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood from Madisonville, Tennessee, and Clint and Joanna Green from Springboro, Ohio. The times of the services will be Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. Everybody come out and be blessed.
Very good. We truly appreciate that. Just appreciate everybody calling in here this evening and being a part of this service, even though I've not been on it very much, but I'll go back here in a few minutes and listen to it, and I'll still get the blessing out of it. So, praise the Lord. Brother John?
Yeah, brother.
Come back in there and obey the Lord a little bit there and let and tell them about the church and let Brother Eddie come back in there and obey the Lord too. We've got 6 minutes left, so you'll just go ahead and finish it out and pray for the needs of the people and just whatever you feel led of God to do. Let's see here. 423-3151, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
This is Connie Cash in Sweetwater.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're glad you called in there, sister. You want to
obey
the Lord?
Well, I just got something to tell you, and then that's all I'm going to do. Just wanted to say that see, 5, 6, 7, 8 people got saved at the jail Sunday night.
Praise the Lord.
Three women. And there were several men, so it was a good night. The Lord really blessed. Just wanted to give that praise report.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, I'm glad to hear that report, sister. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and tell us about the church, sister, then I'll get Brother John and them to finish up here with us.
Well, it's Sweetwater, Tennessee on Monroe Street, and they have services on Wednesday night, Sunday night, and Sunday morning. And they start at 10 on Sunday morning. They start at 6:30 Wednesday night and 6 o'clock Sunday night.
Amen. Great. That's Sweetwater Church of God. So, Brother John, go ahead there now and just obey the Lord. We got 4 minutes, and your Brother 81, just go ahead and pray for the needs there.
All right. Brother Eddie, you want to go ahead and finish it out, brother? Are you there?
Yeah, I can go ahead. Just it said, I want to read this verse of Scripture over here in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, this brother was talking about destroying the works of the devil. Whenever Jesus called the apostles, he anointed them and told them to go out and heal the sick. He told them to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper. And I'll tell you what, if we begin to seek God and we get this power working in our life, this anointing, the Bible says to... It's the anointing that breaks it's the anointing that destroys the yoke in the 10th chapter of Isaiah and the 27th verse. And when that anointing begins to work, it will cause the sicknesses to be healed. It will cause the works of the enemy to be destroyed. And, brother, I want you to know tonight that that spirit, that anointing, is what does the work. And, brother, I'll tell you tonight that when God is, he said, for God was with him, Jesus went about doing good all over. And, brother, he healed people, he raised the dead. And, brother, whenever he told us that we could do that, then that's what he meant. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And he said in the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians that there was a gift called the gifts of healing. And there was a gift called the gift of miracle works. And there was a gift called the gift of faith. And all of these all work to bring healing and deliverance to God's people. And he said, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. No, I'm telling you tonight, folks, that all we have to do is call on the name of the Lord and begin to desire the thing. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. And when we begin to seek, he said, if we'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. And he didn't make any difference between me or you or somebody else. But he said, whosoever will, let him come. And I'll tell you tonight that God is with us. And I thank God for this broadcast. And I thank God for the opportunity to be able to sit at my table or to stand on my feet and to preach the gospel to the people that's listening. And I thank God tonight for that anointing that we feel so great in our heart tonight. I thank God for that anointing that's going out and touching the lives of people. And brother, everybody that's testified and everybody that's preached here tonight, know that your labor's not in vain. And brother, all the hearers, if you'll listen and you'll take it to heart, brother, I'll tell you tonight, it will change your life, because Jesus changes every life that he comes in contact with. And I want to pray for you tonight before we get off of here. We've got a couple of minutes left. And let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, God, you know everybody you've spoken to in this broadcast. And I pray, Lord, that the ones that's lost, God, that you would deal with them, Father, till they would turn and fall on their knees and call on the name of the Lord, Father, for salvation. And God, the ones that's backslid, God, that they would turn on their knees, Father, and begin to call on your name and confess their sin to you where they walked off and left you, Father. And God, that they might ask you, Lord, back into their heart. And God, that you might cause them to come back to the Lord and begin to take their cross up. You said we couldn't be your disciple, Lord, if we didn't deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow you. And I pray, God, that you help each one tonight that has turned their back on you, Lord, that they would take that cross back up. And God, I pray for the sick, that you'd let the healing virtue of Christ go out and bring healing to the sick, Lord. And all these folks at John give in, Lord, tonight, that sick, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd let the Spirit of God go out and touch them and heal them, Father, and raise them up, Father, and use each one for your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Brother John, go ahead.
We've done gone off, but the time has been gone. I want to say I appreciate each and every one calling in there tonight and being a part of this service. I'm sorry that I couldn't get in there, but I will listen to it, and I appreciate it. God bless you.